Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Synergy. What is synergy? If you look it up on Google, you will see the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or other agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. Yeah, okay, so what does that mean? Well, when we're talking about relationships, it means that when we come together, we are more powerful than when we're apart, because we're not just adding to each other, we're multiplying each other. That's a pretty powerful concept. Okay, well, let's think about it just logistically. 3 + 6 + 8 = 18. But 3 × 6 × 8 = 144. Well, you think on a scale of 1 to 10, you know what? I'm just a 2. But if you're coming into a group that has combined, created something that's 144 of something, do you know you coming into that group can turn it into 288? Yeah, not 146. You don't add to, you multiply it. But exponentially, let's think about this. 144 to the second power, that's 20,736. What does that mean in the human soul, our social energy? When we come together, you know what? There is no neutral energy. We are either positive or negative. Do you ever think about that? Do you think about your energy, if it's positive or negative? Well, you know what? That's a lot of responsibility. Power comes with responsibility. Do you believe that you are responsible to the people that you're with? Yeah, the people that you're around. You don't even have to directly interact with them. Just coming together with them. Well, you know what? Accountability. Do you believe that you're accountable for the things that you say and do? Who? Ask yourself, really, who do you believe you are accountable to? Some people say, you know what, to myself. Some people say to the people that I'm with. Some people say to a higher power. Okay, well, that's kind of a little detail there. We'll get back to that a little bit later in the show. But today we're going to be talking about there is no neutral energy. It's either positive or negative. How can you get yourself into good, positive energy, high quality state? One of my favorite lines in a movie from the 80s was, say anything, when a brother and sister, who by the way, were a brother and sister in real life too. The brother said to the sister, get in a good mood. How hard is it just to decide to be in a good mood and then be in a good mood? You used to be warped and twisted and hilarious. And I mean that as a compliment. Well, wait a minute. Her response was, gee, it's easy. Well, she was being sarcastic. But then after sort of reflecting for a little while, she said, I was hilarious once, wasn't I? Yeah, you know what? It's good to be warped and twisted. Today, I'm going to be talking about personalities and how we might have kind of weird personalities, but when we're in a good mood with the people who love us and want us to be happy, that's a powerful force. And we're exponentially better when we come together if we are high quality. So I'm going to leave the phone lines open for the whole show today. The number to the station is 888-627-6008. And I'm going to be covering a lot of different topics, right? A lot of different subjects. But if you have a specific question about something that I've said, because I'm going to cover a lot of information, but go ahead, feel free to call in and just ask me something. It might seem, well, kind of simple, maybe unimportant, but this is very important because I've got about 5,000 connections who are listening to the show today, and they are going to be paying attention. And the great thing too, this show is archived. So if something happens and I said something that you didn't quite remember, feel free to always go into BBS Radio Archives, and you can listen to the show as many times as you need to, over and over again. But if you also have a question that you want to email me, the email address is thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio gmail.com. So I'll be checking periodically to see if I get any questions through the email. Okay, so first of all, I just want everyone here to know before I even get started, I am a relationship coach. I am not a shrink. My son actually told one of his friends when he was, young, I think 12 years old is fairly young. He said, "Hey, my mom's a shrink," to his, actually it was a few friends. I said, "Honey, you have to stop saying that. I do not agree with the mental health industry in the United States. And I do not agree with the pharmaceutical industry in the United States. I'm very passionate. I do not try to fix what is wrong with people. I maximize what is right." Yeah, I was getting up on my little soapbox and he just turned around and looked at me straight on and said, "Mom, you're the worst kind of shrink. You're a shrink in denial." And I just couldn't stop laughing. I said, "You know what? Out of my three children, I've never had a favorite. I think until now, I think you just became my favorite." That was such a great, wily thing to say to me. But honestly, I don't agree with people labeling people with with mental illnesses just because they display an unhealthy behavior. One of the most important things that I teach people at the very beginning of the contract, the coaching, the activities that we do is I'm going to teach you about your personality. It's very important to know your personality because that's how you understand yourself. You have strengths and weaknesses and tendencies and preferences. That doesn't mean you're mentally ill. Too many people in the mental health industry like to describe a series of behaviors, a list of conditions as a mental or emotional illness. But that's just not true. Five different people can come to me as a relationship coach. I started out as a life coach, but as a relationship coach and saying, "I have this problem. I have this struggle. I have what I think is an illness. Help me fix myself." I always say, "You know what? I'm going to help you in the way that's best for your personality." That behavior does not necessarily mean the same thing to someone with the personality of a muscle as a person with a personality of a bone, okay? Because a muscle is different from a bone. One isn't good, one isn't bad. Anything can be good or bad depending on how it's being displayed and how it manifests. Now, I have always used the tool of the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator Personality Profile System. I personally like that best because in the 48 years that I've been on this planet, it is the only one that has accurately defined, described, and explained not only what I do, but why I do it and how I do it. Yeah, so again, there are things that are just weird about me because I happen to have a personality that's about 2% of the human population and in most cultures is a man's personality, right? I have man characteristics more than woman, but it's okay because the world doesn't need very many of me. In order to continue running smoothly, a lot of the things that I do are very high impact, so I don't have to do a lot of them. Okay, so then let's think about that in a practical way again. Quality over quantity. Well, let's play a little numbers game here. I like numbers games because I happen to be INTP, which you will understand a little bit later in the show, a few minutes from now. But if you get yourself into a high quality state, you don't have to give a high quantity of things, actions, products, whatever, time, even time, because the quality of what you are doing will continue to take effect even after you have stopped or left the situation or circumstance. Okay, so I like to use the expression, I'd rather have an ounce of gold than a ton of fertilizer. Okay, fertilizer is a good thing. Now think about this. It goes for about $1.50 a pound if you're getting the good stuff. So a 50-pound bag can cost about $75. That's 9 cents per ounce. Well, you know what? Do you know what gold's going for in 2024? About $2,075. an ounce. Okay. So that's about $33,000 a pound. So a bar of gold is about 27 pounds. Yeah. So a 27 pound bar of gold is hovering between $800,000 and $900,000. Are you gold? Do you feel like you're gold? Well, maybe if you have a weird personality like me, in certain social settings, you might feel like fertilizer because people don't appreciate you. But again, appreciation is about value. Do you value yourself? Do you value other people? Okay, well, it's about creating a lifestyle that appreciates, that uses your strengths and talents and gifts and abilities. And people can actually say, wow, what you bring to my life, the value that you add to my life is absolutely worth whatever it is that I'm paying in the way of time, energy, attention. Yeah, maybe money. But you know what? Money is only relative to what you are exchanging it for. How much is time worth? How much is your time worth? Again, the number, if you want to call in to the station, 888-627-6008. Okay, so now I'm going to be going into the different elements of the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator Personality Profile System. I'm going to be just covering the general dichotomies really quickly, because a lot of people, unfortunately, when they say, yeah, I'm going to have my personality profiled, they take a version of the test that's either not accurate, okay, because sometimes on the internet, the cheapest ones are not the best quality, or they take one that's a very long test. It can be up to 200 questions, and they answer the question without an expert to guide them through what the questions mean. And a lot of times, unfortunately, too, since people don't really know themselves, they answer the questions based on what they currently do in their present lifestyle, which ironically is the problem, right? Because what they're coming to an expert to learn more about themselves about, for, to, do, have, or be. What's wrong with me? Why am I behaving this way? Most of the time, what they're doing is not who they truly are naturally. Yeah, we have nature. We also have nurture. If we've grown up in a place or a space or a culture where we're not really appreciated for who we naturally are, as humans, we can do anything. We can modify our behavior, but behavior is not personality. So when we go through these just real quick questions and general concepts, ask yourself, what is truly who you naturally are, not what do you currently do most? Think about it this way. What's easiest for you? Naturally. What brings you the most pleasure? Naturally. And what are you impressive when you do? Naturally. Okay, so there's four parts of your personality. The first one is your social energy. Now, in terms of the MBTI system, you're introvert or extrovert. A lot of people use those words socially in different ways, but for this, the definition is an introvert is someone who gets their energy from within themselves while they are alone, and they spend it on other people when they interact with them. An extrovert is someone who gets their energy from interacting with other people and spends it on themselves when they're alone. Okay, so I ask four basic questions about social energy. Number one, who do you call your friend? Now, you can like a lot of people in life. An extrovert would say, yeah, I like that person. We're great friends. An introvert would say, no, a friend is someone who is an intimate companion that I have a profound connection with. I like about 5,000 people in the world. From birth till death, I'll have maybe five friends. The second question, when you are in a group of people, especially ones you don't know, do you want to be the center of attention? Yeah, an extrovert would say, absolutely. I'll get up on stage and I'll do something to embarrass myself. It means, if it means, all the eyes are going to be on me. An introvert would say, no, that's okay. I don't need any attention except from people who are my friends. The third question, when you're having a conversation and it is in a group setting and it gets louder and louder and louder because people are talking, Okay. Do you feel comfortable raising your voice in order to maintain that level of interaction with the group? An extrovert would say, I wasn't yelling. I don't know why you think I would. An introvert would say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and be quiet now. Okay. And then the fourth question is, how uncomfortable are you interrupting other people? Well, nobody wants to be interrupted, right? But you know what? Extroverts, they really don't notice it when other people do it because they're okay reciprocating. Sometimes, you know what? If you want to get into the conversation, you got to force your way in. An introvert would say, no, that's okay. I'm going to go ahead and let you finish. Okay, but now the second part is sensory or intuitive. Well, we have five senses. They're going on all the time and they're absorbing everything, what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we touch. And we also have something inside of us taking all of those little nuggets of information that our firsthand personal experiences provide. Think of it as a reservoir of all of that experience. And it kind of takes it apart and puts it together and reflects on it. And yeah, what attaches the pieces to create? I wonder what that. You know what? They're both going on all the time. Even when we're asleep, our intuition is the internal process. Our sensing is the external process. The question is, do you focus more on what's going on around you or what's going on inside of you? Okay, now that's not the same thing as introvert and extrovert. Introvert and extrovert just has to do with social energy. You can be intuitive, right? Internally focused and still be socially extroverted. If you have questions, again, the number is 888-627-6008. Okay, so four questions I like to ask people about whether you're intuitive or sensory, because it can be a little confusing. These are very simple, direct questions. Yeah, if there's gross food in front of you, are you tempted to try it? And you know it's probably going to be absolutely disgusting, but you want that stimulation. Sensors like new experiences, and even bad experiences are a good thing for sensors. An intuitive would say, no, I'm not hungry. I know what I like, and I'll stick to what I like. Another question is, yeah, how easily do you get lost? I love this. My husband is sensory. I'm intuitive. We're delivering food for Uber Eats, and he'll be like, okay, so the map is saying we can go this way. Are we going to this house? Are we going to? The minute he turns around, the car around, and the GPS is a little bit delayed reaction, I go, no, wait a minute. That's north. No, that's north. He's like, no, it's over here. I'm like, but that's not what the computer says. And he said, but it doesn't matter. I know where I'm going. Yeah, that's a sensor. I'm an intuitive. I get lost in my backyard. Okay, the next question is, yeah, if you're thinking about something and you kind of get into a train of thought, is there something right in front of you and you don't see it? Yeah, intuitives, we open up the cupboard and there's the peanut butter right in front of us and we go, yeah, I can't find it. Because you know what? We're not really looking most of the time. And then finally, how well do you remember faces and things that people were wearing? Do you remember the details of things like that? You know what? An intuitive would forget. A sensor not only remembers what that person looked like, but the gestures they made or the expressions on their face while they were talking. Okay, so now the third part is, how do you make decisions? You're either thinker or feeler. Okay, now this is another one. People get really resistant to committing to one or the other. Oh, well, I do both. I'm both. No, you are naturally more one or the other. Okay, now thinker does not mean you're smart. A lot of stupid people are thinkers. Feeling does not mean emotional. A lot of thinkers get very emotional. Feeling means you make decisions based on the emotional needs of other people. A thinker is someone who makes decisions based on rational, logical information, facts. Feelers are about other people's needs. Thinkers are about facts and information. Okay, so here's some questions. Are you okay giving people bad news? A thinker would say, yeah, you know what? Life is just full of bad news. Deal with it. You get bad news sometimes. Okay, a feeler would say, no, if I have to give someone bad news, it's going to hurt me. It's actually going to cause me more pain probably than them. Second question, do you have to understand how things work and why they work that way before you're going to do something. A thinker would say, yeah, it needs to make sense to me. A feeler would say, no, a lot of things in life don't make sense. And that's not going to stop me from doing or being something good, especially for someone else as a gift. The third question is, do you know what people need without having to ask them? Feelers are so good at sensing, right? On an intuitive level, whether it's sensing or intuitive, other people's genuine needs. A thinker could have something going on right in front of them inside of another person or in a situation that people are involved with. And they would say, okay, so let's figure out the situation. Let's analyze the different details and then put it together. Oh, okay, yeah. Well, then based on this and this, someone else would probably need that. So I'm going to go ahead and take care of it because it all adds up that way. A feeler would say, no, I understand people, and people are the most important thing in my life. So I can figure out things that don't make sense on paper about people. And the last one is, are you comfortable putting others' needs before your own? A thinker would say, no, you might actually be doing yourself or that person harm by not doing the smart thing. Well, you know what? A feeler would say, it's okay because the fulfillment that I get from putting other people's needs ahead of mine more than makes up for whatever I might be depriving of myself tangibly, externally in the immediate situation. Yeah, you'll definitely know if you're a feeler in that situation, in that context. And then the last one is perceiver or judger. Judger does not mean judgmental. Many perceivers are judgmental. All perceiver means is that you're flexible and spontaneous and willing to try all kinds of new things. Okay. A judger is someone who is structured and organized and consistently disciplined. They like to plan things. They really do want to stick to the rules. Again, perceivers, it's fly by the seat of your pants. Life has rules, but they're more like guidelines than mandates. Okay, so these are my favorite questions, actually. Almost more, they're almost better than the introvert extrovert questions. But okay, the first one is, how important is it for you to be on time? You know what? A perceiver would say, time is relative, and if an appointment is at 8:30, yeah, if I'm there by 8:35, I'm not really late. A judger would say, if I'm not going to be there by 8:30, the only way I can get there on time is by being there at 7:45. Yeah, I'd rather be 45 minutes early than 5 minutes late. Next question is, do you get more energy at the beginning or the end of a project? A judger has a hard time getting going, but the closer and closer they get to finishing, the more and more energy they get, and they can't stop until they've finished. A perceiver gets a lot of excitement and they start a lot of projects. We'll see which ones actually come to fruition. And then one of I love this one is, do you like to write lists of things to do? Judgers love to write lists because they love to scratch things off when they're done. If you've done something that's not on your list, do you write it down just so you can scratch it off? A perceiver would probably lose their list halfway through the day. And the last one for you are rules, guidelines, or mandates. When no one else is watching you, if you know that this is conceptually what someone expects you to do, how much does it bother you if you don't do it? Even if the person says, no, it's okay, I don't mind. Does it bother you that they are not bothered? Then you're probably a J. Okay, so we're going to take a real quick break. And again, if you have any questions, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the different interesting levels of functionality. And for now, this is BBS Radio, the power of synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardone.
Are you tired of feeling scattered and unproductive? Are you experiencing poor health, stress, and anxiety? The answer to realizing your true potential is right in front of you. Hi, I'm HD, the founder of UFlow Fitness, and for over 20 years, I have been unlocking the secrets to peak performance, health, and wellness. Imagine a mental state where time melts away and you're fully immersed in the task at hand, helping you achieve your peak performance effortlessly. By finding your flow state, your creativity will soar, your stress will vanish, and you will experience pure joy in all of your pursuits. Say goodbye to distractions and hello to unparalleled focus and productivity. With UFlow Fitness, you will receive a personalized plan tailored specifically for you to enhance your nutrition, fitness, and rest. I will personally guide you in finding and tapping into your flow state, and together we'll not only transform your body, but also your mindset. Just go to uflowfitness.com and fill out a survey. A team member will immediately reach out with a free consultation. That's the letter U, F-L-O-W, fitness.com. Uflow Fitness, your journey starts now.
Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. And if you have any questions or even comments that you'd like to make about the things that I've been saying so far, I'm going to leave the lines open for the whole show. The number is 888-627-6008. Okay, so when we're talking about functions, we have different concepts and different principles just based on the different activities that we do. Look, everybody has to do everything. It doesn't matter if you're sensory, you're still going to have to do intuitive things. And it doesn't matter if you're a thinker, you're not going to succeed in the world in life if you don't know how to be feeler in certain situations and in certain ways at certain times. Yes, everybody has to do everything at one time or another. The question is, what do you do well? What do you enjoy doing? Yeah, and what can you do forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? And it's like breathing to you. Think about that. You might not even know yourself well enough to be able to answer that question. So again, the different dichotomies that we went over. Do you feel better when you're alone to recharge and then go out to be with people? Or do you get drained when you can't be interactive? Okay, so if you're being sensory, this is the really important one that we're going to talk about in about 10 minutes, is do you want to have as many experiences that you can? Or would you rather sit and reflect on the experiences to put the pieces together to create complete thoughts and feelings? Okay, when you have to make a decision, do you want to love and care for people and help them and support them? Or do you want to be brilliant, logical, intelligent, rational, and objective to make sure that everything adds up so that people don't make mistakes? And when you're taking care of situations, do you like to be spontaneous and flexible, adjusting to anything that could change in the world? Or do you want to create stability and structure for the people that really will create safety and provide stability for them in their life personally? Now, since you have to do the thinking and feeling and sensing and intuiting, the question is, how much do you do each one of them? Even if you're a sensor, you have to do intuiting things. Even if you're a feeler, you have to do thinking things. There are four levels of performance. There are four levels of function. One is your dominant function. I call it like breathing. You have to do it. It's very important for you to do for at least 8 hours a day. The second level is auxiliary. That's like eating. You have to do it or you'll die, but you don't have to do it all day, every day. You just have to make sure that you're doing it in a healthy way, right? The third level is tertiary. I liken it to walking because you are going to have to walk in life places. You can avoid it, and you certainly can't do it for an extended period of time, but yeah, it's an activity that just needs to be incorporated in your lifestyle. How much can you walk? How much should you walk? We're actually resistant to it. That's why it burns calories, but it's not a bad thing. And then your inferior function, the lowest function, is like running. Yeah, that's a tough thing to do. You certainly can't do it for an extended period of time without it damaging you. And you have to be in really good shape to do it. Even if you're in really good shape and you can do it very, very well, you still shouldn't do it for more than a certain period of time every day, because the minute that you stop, you're going to get bad at it again. That's true of your inferior function as well. But what are those different things? What are those different activities? The principles of functionality, you know what? When you can't do what your preferences are, that's your dominant and auxiliary function, you have to do your tertiary or your inferior function. You still have to do your non-personality activities for your personality's reason, or your personality's way. I call that once removed or twice removed. So how do you know what your function is, your functional order is? Okay, so let's pick just a random personality, an ESTP. And this is the one I'm going to keep coming back to because it's my husband and I'm completely in love with ESTPs. I just think they're the greatest people in the world. So as you can now hear in my voice, I'm getting excited just because I love ESTPs. Okay, so let's think about the principles of ESTP. When it comes to determining functional order, the last letter of your personality is going to determine which of your two middle letters is extroverted. Okay, so the SN, TF are the two middle letters. If your last letter is J, it means your third letter, the T or the F, is going to be extroverted. If the last letter of your personality is P, that means the second letter of your personality, the S or the N, is going to be extroverted. If you need to get a paper and pen to write this down, go ahead. I'll give you a few seconds, but keep in mind, the show is also archived. So if you just need to play it over a couple hundred times, then that's fine too. Excuse me. Again, the last letter is going to determine which middle letter is extroverted, not dominant. That's why it's important to know which first letter of your personality is the real you. If you are extroverted, then the letter that's extroverted will be dominant. If you are an introvert, the letter of your personality that's extroverted will be auxiliary. Isn't that great? You are going to do some things in an introverted way and some things in an extroverted way. And some people say, yeah, well, no, I'm both. I'm an ambivert. No, you are not. Ambivert is a myth. Everybody does some things in an introverted way. Everybody does some things in an extroverted way. It's just very important for you to identify what things do you do in an introverted way and which ones do you do in an extroverted way. Because the two letters that are your personality, one is introverted, one is extroverted. That means one of them is dominant, one of them is auxiliary. The opposite of those letters are your tertiary and inferior. Okay, so think about in the principles of nature, in balance. If you're dominant, like my husband, since he's a P, that means his sensing is extroverted. And since he's an extrovert, that means his extroverted sensing is dominant. That means his T, his thinking, is auxiliary and it's introverted. Now, the principle of nature in balance is if his dominant is extroverted sensing, then the polar opposite of that is his inferior function. The polar opposite of extroverted sensing is introverted intuition. Okay, so then if his thinking is introverted and it's auxiliary, the polar opposite of auxiliary is tertiary. So that means his extroverted feeling is tertiary. If his dominant function is like breathing, for him, his inferior function is like running. But think about this. It's like running while you're not breathing, running while you hold your breath, because you can't be doing both of them at the same time. And your auxiliary function, the polar opposite is your tertiary function. For him, his introverted thinking is like eating. Well, his extroverted feeling is his tertiary function. That's like walking. Extroverted feeling for him, that's not too hard. Walking isn't too hard, but it's going to burn up the calories that eating would provide for him. Okay, so yeah, he can do extroverted feeling things, but it's easier for him to be extrovertedly feeling while he's being extrovertedly sensing too. He is so good at giving people love when he's stimulating them, right? Because they're both extroverted. His sensing is very stimulating for himself and the people around him. But since his introverted thinking is auxiliary and his introverted intuition are inferior, that means he really can only do introverted intuition things when he's thinking. So yeah, once he gets in his head, he really can't get out because he can only do those things while he's alone. And I'll give you some examples of that too, but I'm also going to give you other personality, random examples of daily life activities. What in the world is introverted intuition? What's extroverted sensing? Okay, well, what's introverted feeling? What's extroverted thinking? What's it like? Okay, so instead of giving you a migraine now, I'm going to go ahead and have some fun giving you examples of what that would be in daily life activities. If you have questions about things that you, you're pretty sure you're going to do these things because this is your personality, but what would this particular activity that you do in your daily life qualify as? Please give me a call. I really do want people to ask. Because little details, which I'm going to give more examples of, make all the difference in the world. Okay, so again, if you have questions, the number to call in is 888-627-6008. Go ahead and get your pen and paper out now. If you didn't before, I'm going to take a real quick break again so you can get a chance to maybe sit down and get into the mindset of, okay, so let's get real specific and what I do in my daily lifestyle and what those things qualify as. How important are they? Okay, this is Gabrielle Cardona with the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of feeling scattered and unproductive? Are you experiencing poor health, stress, and anxiety? The answer to realizing your true potential is right in front of you. Hi, I'm HD, the founder of UFlow Fitness, and for over 20 years, I have been unlocking the secrets to peak performance, health, and wellness. Imagine a mental state where time melts away and you're fully immersed in the task at hand, helping you achieve your peak performance effortlessly. By finding your flow state, your creativity will soar, your stress will vanish, and you will experience pure joy in all of your pursuits. Say goodbye to distractions and hello to unparalleled focus and productivity. With UFlow Fitness, you will receive a personalized plan tailored specifically for you to enhance your nutrition, fitness, and rest. I will personally guide you in finding and tapping into your flow state, and together we'll not only transform your body, but also your mindset. Just go to uflowfitness.com and fill out a survey. A team member will immediately reach out with a free consultation. That's the letter U, F-L-O-W, fitness.com. UFlow Fitness, your journey starts now.
Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardone. If you have questions or comments, I'm leaving the lines open for the whole show today. The number is 888-627-6008. Okay, so before we get into specific examples of what extroverted sensing or introverted intuition are, I want you to remember that it's very important to keep the activities of breathing and eating and walking and running in your physical life in good proportions. The same is true for your personality. You need to spend 8 hours a day doing your dominant function, breathing. You have to do the activities that are so natural for you that they don't require motivation or compensation or restoration. You don't need to recover. You don't need to fuel yourself. You don't need to motivate yourself to do them. Do your dominant function for 8 hours a day. Then your second level function, your auxiliary function like eating, you need to do that for 4 hours a day. That's 25% of a 16-hour day, assuming you get 8 hours of sleep, right? I'm going to assume that's a good lifestyle that you have. 16 hours of awake time. 8 needs to be dominant. 4 needs to be auxiliary. So that leaves, okay, about 4 hours, right? Of your auxiliary function, you should not spend more than 3 hours a day, 2 to 3 hours a day walking. Now think about that logistically. Again, when we're talking about walking, how many miles a day should you walk? Can you walk before it starts to wear you out? The same is true of your auxiliary function, 2 to 3 hours a day max. And then your inferior function, think of it like running. Even if you're a marathon runner, you really shouldn't be running that much. Well, 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day. No, you know what? Just be healthy. Don't be emaciated. Okay. And it don't have to make your entire lifestyle around running your inferior function. Because again, when you're not doing your dominant function, you're suffocating yourself in order to do your inferior function. You should not do more than 2 hours of your inferior function activities every day. Okay. Now, what we're talking about for the example of sensing, you know what? Let's start with sensing because that's actually out of all of the activities that really close to thinking is the most common human behavior. So we're talking about sensing. People love to experience life, looking at things, touching things, smelling things, tasting things, listening to things. going out to do all those things with people, that's extroverted sensing. Do you have more interactions with people that are stimulating to your senses? Then that's extroverted sensing. A big one, eating. Do you like to go out to eat with people? Do you like to try foods with people? Then that's extroverted sensing. Introverted sensing is something that may be artistic, something that might be tactile, like I am going to use the example of cooking, okay? Or being a mechanic. My son is an ISTP, and I asked my husband, honey, do you think our son does better working as a manager in a fast food restaurant where he currently works, or with cars? Because that's a lot of hand-eye coordination. That's a lot of attention to detail. That's execution of precision. You know what? I'm going to miss that. What was that, a notch on there? Oh, I didn't even see that because I'm an intuitive. And he said, no, I really think he does better with food. And I said, okay, but is that sensing? Because you have to pay very close attention to not only the ingredients, but the way you are preparing the ingredients. That could be cutting up the ingredients. It could be, do you fry them or do you bake them? And when you're frying them, is it deep fry? Okay, because that makes a little difference too. Sensing. He needs to do sensing things alone. No, I do. He needs to be around other people when he's being sensory. Wow. Okay. Thinking. He's an ST. So thinking is about making decisions, executing decisions. Well, that's having power to change the world, to change people's lives. Introverted, thinking introvertedly means you need to have that freedom and that space away from people in order to make good choices, objective, rational, logical choices that are brilliant. Well, if you're extroverted thinking, you do better when you collaborate with people, when you're brainstorming with people and you work together with them to make that contribution to the decision a group effort. Well, how about feeling? Well, you would assume that if it's about people that you all feeling would be extroverted. No, introverted feeling would be something like, let's see, I need to take care of people. I need to make decisions about how their health care would be. Yeah. Do you need to be alone as a feeler to say, I'm going to work or just work one-on-one with people who are the most important to me? I would rather give 10 hours to 5 people than 5 hours to 10 people. Okay. Well, if you're being intuitive, how about understanding concepts? Do you want to be socially interactive when you're intuitive? That means just kind of brainstorming with people without making decisions, understanding things, theorizing. You know what? Okay, well, but what about this? And hypothesizing about what potentially, but without making any decisions. Do you collaborate well with other people? That's extroverted intuition. Or do you need to sit alone? Okay. For hours at a time, because after 4 or 5 hours of contemplating and analyzing and understanding and reassembling different concepts, you know, wow, okay, now I can come up with one brilliant discovery. But when people come around, that shuts off and your sensing turns back on. Okay, yeah, then we need to understand that intuition can be introverted or extroverted. What kind of activities do you do? Okay, so you know what? I'm going to go ahead and give examples of, again, I did my husband delivering food with me. You know what? I love the fact that he doesn't need to rely on technology because he can remember not only the places that he's been to with his dominant extroverted sensing with me, especially sometimes we bring my daughter in the car with us because she likes to hang out with us. It's actually a really good time. She and I can say, well, no, but what about this? And what about that? And you know what? Us talking to him, it never distracts him. He's so able to stay focused on not only where we are, but where we're going and which name of the store that was right next to, or the restaurant, you know, now we're doing stores too, but the restaurant, no, that, because that was on this corner of this street. And I'm like, no, it wasn't. It was like right down the street. And he said, no, honey, we made a left. I'm like, what? Okay. All right. You know what? Never mind. I'm just going to let you drive. Yeah. Extroverted sensing. That is awesome. But let's do introverted sensing, an example of dominant introverted sensing. You know what? I like a movie, Terms of Endearment. Aurora, the mother, she had, yeah, some very introverted. She was very ISTJ. So her introverted sensing was her dominant function. One guy came over and just scooped up. It actually was a dip for the party. And he took the scoop of whatever pate. It was imperfect. She flipped out. Okay. She literally had to take it away from the table because her sensing, so introverted, was so dominant. Okay. Yeah. How about auxiliary extroverted sensing? Again, we're talking about my son. As a manager in a restaurant, his extroverted sensing was auxiliary. That means he could only do it for about 3 or 4 hours a day. That's important to remember in a position of social influence, like being a manager. When he has to cook, he is amazing. But a lot of what he's doing is business related because his thinking as an ISTP is his dominant function. Yeah. And when he comes home and I have something to eat, he will literally take the things that I have made with me and spend quality time with me, creating something completely new. God, I love that. Okay. So how about introverted sensing as an auxiliary function, introverted? Okay. You know what? I'll use my other son as an example. He's a plumber. So auxiliary introverted sensing. He's an ESFJ. So that means his dominant function is extroverted feeling. As a plumber, his sensing is auxiliary. That's his second level. It's like eating for him, but he has to be alone while he's doing it. That's why as a plumber, he did such a good job, because when he's alone, his senses become so heightened. They become so fine-tuned in what he's doing. He can do that for all day, every day. Okay, so when we're talking about intuition, what is intuition? That's a little bit more confusing. I'll use an example of my first client, Mike Dana. He said, you know what? I'm an amazing district attorney and I'm completely miserable. And I said, you know what? That's because you're doing an ENTJ job, but you're an INTJ. You need to be alone. Your introverted intuition doesn't happen when you are with people in an office going to court all day long. You need to be a teacher. You can sit in an office for 8 hours, right? And then go teach a class for 1 hour because your extroverted thinking is great for 4 hours a day. You need to keep your dominant introverted intuition. Okay. We're going to go ahead and take one more break. I'm going to go through the thinking and feeling. But you know what? Keep in mind, 888-627-6008. If you have a question before we wrap up the show, I'm Gabrielle Cardona. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio.
Are you tired of feeling scattered and unproductive? Are you experiencing poor health, stress, and anxiety? The answer to realizing your true potential is right in front of you. Hi, I'm HD, the founder of UFlow Fitness. And for over 20 years, I have been unlocking the secrets to peak performance, health, and wellness. Imagine a mental state where time melts away and you're fully immersed in the task at hand, helping you achieve your peak performance effortlessly. By finding your flow state, your creativity will soar, your stress will vanish, and you will experience pure joy in all of your pursuits. Say goodbye to distractions and hello to unparalleled focus and productivity. With UFlow Fitness, you will receive a personalized plan tailored specifically for you to enhance your nutrition, fitness, and rest. I will personally guide you in finding and tapping into your flow state, and together we'll not only transform your body, but also your mindset. Just go to uflowfitness.com and fill out a survey. A team member will immediately reach out with a free consultation. That's the letter U, F-L-O-W, fitness.com. UFlow Fitness, your journey starts now.
Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Now we're thinking about thinking and feeling as activities. What's dominant extroverted thinking? You know what? I'll be honest with you. Dr. Phil, that's his dominant function, is extroverted thinking. He will tell you exactly what the bottom line is. And he does it well in large groups of people. He's fine being in a public forum with a large audience. Yeah, he wants that social interaction with people and he wants a public display, but his thinking is, you know what? I don't care if what I say is going to hurt you. You know what? You don't have to be that way. You can have a great quality like extroverted thinking and still be thoughtful and caring. I really like to use that example because not all thinkers are jerks like him. Okay. You know what? How about things like introverted thinking? Well, if it's an inferior function, it's like my daughter who's an ENFJ. She can, turn off her feeling to make an objective and rational decision, but it's like running for her. Introverted thinking is like running uphill for her. The only time that she can actually do that for an extended period of time is if she's using her introverted intuition. She can do objective, logical, rational, analytical things if she's thinking about it in the context of a big picture. Okay. Well, how about feeling? You know what? As an INTP, I can't do feeling things to save my life. I'm so bad at them. My extroverted feeling is my inferior function. So if I have to do something that's feeling, taking care of people, the other extroverted activity I have is my intuition. If I can take my feeling function and infuse it into my intuitive purpose in life, I can nurture people if I understand why and how. What does that mean? What is it connected to? You can do things like feeling and thinking in a sensing and intuiting way if you understand the social implication. You have to spend time with people if you're an extrovert. You have to be alone if you're an introvert. Yeah, figure out what your letters are and what they mean. If you have questions, comments, again, feel free to email me. I didn't get any emails through the show today. So thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. And again, the station is 888-627-6008. You can call in and ask questions during my live broadcast. But if you really want to listen to the archives, because I covered a lot of concepts, then you can go ahead and get to the archives at the bottom of the page on the station website, the page for my show. And I do have this every week. It's very important for you to remember that what you do has to be your personality. Your dominant function needs to be 8 hours a day. Your auxiliary, 4. Your tertiary, 2 to 3. Your inferior, 1 to 2. Figure out what in your life is sensing. What's intuitive, what's thinking, and what's feeling. Get yourself into a high quality state. The synergy that you create with people will be powerful and positive. And that will move them to be powerful and positive with the people in their lives. I also have a book, The Embracing Your True Nature. If you're interested in that, you can go ahead and send the email. And yeah, always about making your life better. I also have my life coaching workbook. If you want the life coach information without actually paying me full price, because I am a little expensive, but also I have webinars and classes and coaching groups. You can go to my website, which is www.synergyrelationshipcoaching.com. Tonight, I'm going to be doing a class about feminism, how it's devolved into something toxic. Check out my website. And thank you so much for listening to the show this week. Have a wonderful next week. Embrace your true nature. Employ the power of synergy. I'm Gabrielle Cardona on BBS Radio.